and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 2010. This episode is 2 weeks late. Sorry, it has been a month since I posted episode 209, and that wasn't the plan, but then May just kind of, well, it kicked my butt. Now, there are quilt diaries from May. They exist. But we had two big things. One is Will got baptized and confirmed his baptismal vows within 5 minutes of taking them, because that's just how we roll here in our Episcopalian / Southern Baptist household, and that's why we go to the Methodist church. And Jack graduated. Just a little matter of finishing his high school education. Yeah. And graduation, it wasn't until after graduation that people started coming out of the woodwork to tell me, yes, that's a really exhausting experience. It just is. There are a lot of events leading up to graduation. There's a lot of getting here and there and everywhere. And, you know, did we remember to order Jack's cap and gown? Actually, they did that at school. But that was the last thing for me to be anxious about, was Jack picked up his cap and gown. It comes in this little plastic bag. I mean, sealed, right? And he does not open it before heading out for graduation. I'm like, it's going to be the wrong size. It's going to, like, just hit up to his knees or, you know, his waist. That's not his waist. Let's say mid-thigh. It's going to hit mid-thigh. It's going to be for some really short person. Jack is 6'2". And it's going to be all wrinkly, and everyone else is going to have taken theirs out and ironed and made steamed and all that stuff. And Jack, and, you know, so that was just one thing to kind of loose my mind over and just let it go. I had to let it go. It's like, he is 18. He is an adult. If his cap and gown didn't work out, not my monkey, not my circus, that kind of thing. Yeah, kind of happy that's all over now, although it was lovely. I don't want to say that I had to, you know, just bear it, you know, and it was horrible. It wasn't. It was all very nice, and the graduation event itself was very nice. So glad to be through it. Now Jack is at the beach with his friends. And they're staying at somebody's house. The mom is there. Bless her heart. And we'll be back tomorrow. And then we will build up to college. Going to college, which will call for a lot of planning and shopping. And, you know, Jack's not really a planning and shopping guy, but he's going to need to learn how to do that. Hi, I'm here to talk about quilts. Really, I am. Whoa, I'm on the porch. There is a... It's not an oriole, I don't think, but an oriole-like looking bird out on the fence. My dog is scratching. Come on, Travis. Come on. Yes. But I wanted you to hear the sound of the birds, the ambient noises of my backyard, which sports nothing but a long row of tomato plants and a few herbs in pots. We are not doing the big garden thing this year. My big news is I finished Sit-In the Top. So this is the quilt I've been referring to as the chair quilt. It is pieced. It is ready. No, it's not ready to go because I'm adding borders to it. White borders. The background is white. Adding white borders to it, which I think I'll do tonight. And then tomorrow I'm going to head over to the Cary Quilting Company because I need to buy some red fabric that matches the red fabric in Stellar and in the quilt that the improvised top that was supposed to be the back for Stellar, which was formerly known, by the way, as the Graphic Star Quilt, became Stellar, the Chair Quilt became Sit-In. I'm just all over the place with names. Any event, liked the back so much that I improvised for Stellar that now it's going to be its own top, but it needs to be reframed. When I made it a back, I just set it, it's like a 24-inch square, and I set it in a white background, first of all, as someone who's needed a lot of white fabric over the last month, I'm like, why did I use all that good white fabric? but at the time, I felt rich in white fabric, so I used that. But now, I may keep a thin border of white but I want to then do some other borders, maybe wonky. I haven't quite decided how I'm going to border, but it needs bordering. But I need red to match the red in the quilt, and you can't do that online. The only way you can do that online is if you actually know the make and model of the red fabric you are using. But this is fabric I got at the Scrap Exchange, so I have no idea what it is, but hoping I can make a really close match, if not an exact match, at Carrie Quilting Company tomorrow. Remind me that they've actually moved, and so I will need to go to the new place and not the old place. Yes, which I don't know where it is, except that it's still in Cary. So I haven't actually... Well, no, I haven't gone to buy fabric in person in a while, so this is exciting to me. I'm also thinking about, and I wish I'd thought about this sooner, but making just a lap quilt for Susan. This is the owner of the beach house that Jack is currently occupying. This woman, 20 kids. It's 20 kids. And this is a nice group of young people. If I were going to have 20 young people in my beach house, this is the group I would have handpicked. These are nice young people, but 20 of them in my house. This woman deserves a quilt. And so I may look and see if I can find something very simple. I mean, I'll do something super simple. That's something I've been thinking about, not making simple quilts, but there's a part of me, and I think it's because I have so many ideas for quilts right now, so many things I want to try. But I feel like I need to slow down a little bit. I mean, one, it's so fun to finish something and to, like, you know, and to put the picture on Instagram and people go, oh, I really like that. And that's, it's so great to get that affirmation. It's so great to, you know, just finish a quilt, period. Affirmed or not, but I need to remember what my process is, and my process is taking a long time, messing up, revising, and not necessarily needing to produce anything to show. And that was, you know, I love Instagram. I love seeing other people's quilts, especially, and getting inspired by them. And it's very fun to put up your work and have people respond to it. And, you know, I'm so simple. I'm so simple in my mind. You know, they're like, oh, look, so-and-so, you know, these people, many of whom I don't know, who are just, you know, so it's the kindness of strangers, you know, saying, affirming you. And that feels so good that I understand why it could be addictive, you know, to go and like, I need some Instagram love. I need some Facebook love. And you know, but I was thinking with quilts, I need to step back. I need to play and make mistakes and figure stuff out and not worry about having something to post. But, you know, I'm not a brand. I don't need to be marketed. Yeah. So does that make sense? And I like, you know, Shawn Chambers, whose quilts I love, she quilts very slowly. She makes her quilts really, really slowly over a period of years. And I'm holding her up as my role model. Again, I've got so many things that I want to try that I don't think that I don't know. I may have quilts that I haven't finished, but by the time I finish them, it will have been years since I started them. But that's different than going through a process in which you're trying things and making mistakes and revising and whatever. I like that idea of working slow and working toward an end, because I do like finishing quilts. I don't like I now at this point have my share of things that I started and kind of abandoned. I have books like that too, and stories that I started and abandoned, and sometimes you're going to abandon ship. But I like to give, I want to give myself time to play and to figure out what it is I want to do and not feel like it, and work toward finishing always. And not abandoning just because I've got some great new idea. And that's what, you know, I teach this writing workshop. We meet on Saturdays, and it's a group of girls who are about to finish 7th, 8th, and 10th grade. And they're wonderful. And that's the one thing that we're really working on right now is finishing. Because it's so easy to abandon a project to a new idea. As we all know, all creative people know this, quilters, knitters, writers, painters. It's so, you know, particularly if you're right in the middle of a creative buzz and you're getting all these new ideas. Oh, I could do this, I could do that. And it's so tempting to jump ship and go to the next new thing. But so I do like finishing, but I want to take my time and make what I want to make and not think about, oh, how will other people react? I hope that all makes sense. All right, I don't need to go on all that long here because I think I've got a long enough podcast, and I would actually like to get it posted today, today being June 2nd, 2017. Quick mention, I forgot to do this at the end, so I just want to just do a roll call, say thanks to everyone who commented on 2009, and that would include Gail and Krista, Glenna, Evelyn, Lizzie, Quilt and Jenny, Jane, Noni, Nicole, Deborah, and Nicole just found the podcast. Yay! I'm glad you're enjoying them. Thanks so much, Nicole. Deborah, Lizzie again, and Jay. I'm always so happy to hear from everyone. So thank you for taking the time. Thank you for everyone who thought your comments and sort of ESP'd them to me. I appreciate those as well. Before I forget, we got to celebrate the 7th podcast anniversary of the Off Kilter Quilt. Going to do the thing I do every year. That would be $25 gift certificate to Fat Quarter Shop. If you're the kind of person who actually would prefer to support your local quilt shop, I can arrange to do a $25 gift certificate to your local quilt shop. You would have to give me the information so I could get in touch with your local quilt shop to get you that gift certificate, but I would be more than happy to do that because I do like supporting our local shops. So I sent out a newsletter. Now it's been a few weeks. I'm behind on the newsletter too. And a local quilt shop owner got mad at me because I mentioned that I do some shopping at Joann's. But you know what? I do some shopping at Joann's. I may talk about this in the first quilt diary. I think I do. But I do like to support local quilt shops whenever possible. So that could be your gift certificate if we can work out arrangements for that to happen. Let me hear from you. Let's say by June 23rd. Does that sound too random? I could just say July 1st. Let's do June 23rd. I'm going to the beach following that. So let's do June 23rd, which is, I believe, a Friday. Friday, June 23rd. Leave me a comment. Tell me how long you've been listening. And if I know just even looking at today's comments, like seeing Noni and Jay, of course, but then Jane. Not my mom, Jane, but another Jane who's I know has been a long time listener and commenter. Thank you, Jane. And yes, by the way, if you listen to episode 209, then I was looking for William and Morris. I'm at this point losing control of my brain and perhaps other faculties as well. William Morris, arts and crafts guy. Yes, thank you. But you know, Quilt and Jenny, a lot of folks, Glenna, who've been around for a long time, and I really appreciate it. And it's fun. It's community. So let me know, how long have you been listening? So just leave a comment, say hi, happy anniversary. You don't even have to say that. Just let me know, how long have you been listening, Off Kilter Quilt? All right, with that, let's go on to the probably very unedited Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Saturday, May 13th. I'm pretty sure it's the 13th. I feel fairly certain it's the 13th. Why don't I know these things? Other people know what day it is. I know that it is Saturday, so that's good, and I love Saturday. Saturday may be my favorite day. I love getting up slowly, reading and drinking coffee before I get dressed. Hanging out with my dog, Travis, who's right here next to me, who keeps kicking me if I stop petting him. He's like really spoiled. The alarm keeps going off upstairs. That would be Jack, who likes to get up at 9, rarely gets up at 9, but he likes to, so he sets his alarm for 9 on days he doesn't actually have to go to school and get up at 8, no, at 7:20. So the alarm goes off, he leans over, smacks the snooze button, goes back to sleep for 5 minutes, and repeats that cycle about 20 times. And I don't know how to do the math on that. Somewhere around 10:30, he gets up. Some days I can't take it anymore, and I go upstairs and tell him to fish or cut bait. But mostly I just sit and listen, amused, or go out with Trav, which I'm going to do here in a little bit. It's weird. We've been having some rainy weather. You know, I don't complain about the weather, and Lord knows I wouldn't complain about the rain because the plants need it. Our tomatoes need it. But I'm also going to be glad tomorrow on Mother's Day when it is sunny and 76 degrees. I'm going to enjoy that. I've got a quilt guild meeting tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We are going to talk about color, which is great. And I have to remember to bring five-inch squares of color. So we're going to do color wheel stuff and play. Oh, and they have to be prints. So I'll give you a full report on that later, if I remember. What to tell you? First of all, I don't know if you can hear now. There is just a cacophony. We've got Jack's alarm. Okay, he hit that. And then my iPad just pinged. And yeah, noisy around here on this quiet Saturday morning. So my big news is my quilt, Wing, the one that I've been talking about for quite some time now, it got third place in the Modern Quilt Guild Riley Blake Creative Rockstar Fabric Challenge. It got third place. That's kind of nice. You know, I found this out yesterday. It was weird. It was just, I had gone to look at Instagram. I was taking a break from cleaning my pantry. I spent probably 2 hours yesterday cleaning out my pantry, which is something I've not done in really kind of years. It's weird to live in a house as long as we've lived in this house, which is 10 years. Now, for you, maybe you've lived in your house forever, for 30 years, your entire life. But I'm an Army brat. So before we moved to this house, the longest I'd ever lived in any place was 5 years. And that was actually in our last house and also when I was a kid. And we lived in Northern Virginia outside of D.C. And we were there a long time because my dad did a tour in Vietnam. So that kept us there. And an abnormally long time. So, but now we've been here 10 years. And you can go for years without cleaning the pantry. I mean, you clean the pantry. You dust a few things off. You sweep in there. And when I say pantry, that sounds quite grandiose. We're really talking about a closet that is, let's say, 4 feet wide and 2 feet deep at most. That may be really stretching it. This in the kitchen has some wooden shelves. So I lived in this beautiful apartment when I was in grad school. Oh man, it was gorgeous. And it had a real pantry, like a real pantry. It had windows. It was beautiful, and it had nice shelves and cabinets. Oh, it's a gorgeous pantry. I dream of that pantry. I want that pantry back. But anyway, when you live in a house for 10 years, you can have a pantry and really go for several years just kind of pushing things back. And so I'm throwing away like old oat flour and weird ingredients in general that, you know, I bought for one recipe. And also getting rid of some canned goods that should have been used in 2014. Only one of those. There were some 2015s and 2016s. A few more of those. Again, that just kind of gotten pushed all the way to the back. So today, or my next project, and I'd kind of like to do it today. I may not get to it. I'm going to do the Lazy Susan. And there will be many other specialty ingredients and flour and flowers that have not seen the light of day since I purchased them in 2011. Anywho, so I'm taking a break from that. I thought I would check Instagram. I had posted a picture of some denim diamonds, which is a phrase. This is only about the second or third time I've used it that I really don't like. It feels very 1970s. It feels like the name of a disco band. The Denim Diamonds. But I am making them. I'm English paper piecing diamonds made out of my old jeans. And it seems a little crazy, but it's, you know, these jeans. I mean, first of all, you know, what's interesting is, you know, these jeans, first of all, I'm not sure they're actually entirely made of cotton. There's some stretch, there's some give, as often is the case with jeans that you buy post 40 years old. But I've been reading a lot about G's Bend and also about repurposed fabrics and using repurposed, I think the use of the fabric is what makes it repurposed. So using old fabric. And of course, I go over to the scrap exchange, and it's fun to think about what you can do. And I picked up the book from the library, got it on hold. What is it? It's Wisecraft, which is about using repurposed. No, it's about repurposing fabric. The fabric is not repurposed until you use it. This is, I know, all semantics, but that matters to me. The language matters to me. So, the G-spin quilters used old jeans and old clothes in their quilts. And, you know, I'm working on Stars Upon Stars, the follow-up to Birds in the Air. Sort of finished a first draft. Didn't quite get it all the way finished because I realized there was no point in finishing it if, for instance, I'd gotten the mystery wrong. So I've given it to the man, and he's reading it, and he's liking it so far, but he hasn't really hit the mystery yet. So, we'll see how he likes that. But need Stars Upon Stars quilts. Did I tell you the brilliant thing? I'm sorry, I'm never going to get back to this thing about the Modern Quilt Guild, the challenge, but maybe I will. I came up with the most brilliant idea. So, if you've been with me for a while, and if you were with me during the Birds in the Air lead up and the publication and the show down in Atlanta, you know that I ended up making a bunch of quilts for Trunk Show. And that, when did I come down, Quilt and Jenny? When was that? Like end of September 2016? I think it was around then. So really spent most of the month of September quilting things and getting things done. And so now I'm thinking about quilts to make. And I've got the quilt called Stellar, which started out as the graphic star quilt. And I'm doing, that's of course the Lone Star quilt. These denim diamonds. Yeah. See, I'm going to have to keep saying it. And it's just hurting me to say it, but that's my idea of doing a Lone Star quilt. It's weird. Guys, I am going off on so many tangents. It's a little scary. I'm never going to get back to the Riley Blake challenge. I will. I promise you. We will make a path back to that. Denim Lone Star. Lone Star. Lone Star is funny because I feel like I'm making a Lone Star for a Lone Star quilt. You know, it's like it's candlestick or candlestick holder. Lone Star quilt. It's all, again, it's all semantics. But yes, I was telling you about Wisecraft, telling you I'm making diamonds, okay? Inspired by G's Bend, inspired by Wisecraft. I think it would be cool. I have this idea, it may not work, of using old fabric for the background, maybe even, I don't know if this is going to work, but I've always wanted to do something with feed sacks. So possibility, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. But yesterday, I hadn't posted anything on Instagram in a while. So I thought, other than, well, I did earlier in the week, doing a giveaway as a way of getting people to come over to Quilt Fiction. There's a new story on Quilt Fiction. If you've not seen any of my giveaway shout outs, by the time I post this, the giveaway will be over, but there is still a new story. By the time you hear this, it will be a newish story. So anyway, I wanted to post something on Instagram. I thought, well, I've got this handful of diamonds that I'd made the day before, and so I plopped them down on a piece of white fabric and took a picture. So later on, I am cleaning out my pantry, desperately need a break. Go check Instagram to see if anyone's given me any love. And what I found is I'd just gotten some love from the Modern Quilt Guild. And I found that out because, of course, they tagged me when they posted about it. I wasn't expecting this. They had said earlier on that they expected to have the winners announced by the 16th. Was I expecting to win? Not really. You know, I kept an eye on the Instagram post for the Modern Quilt Guild Challenge. And there were some great quilts. I felt like Wing might have a shot, at least at honorable mention. So did I think I would, like, win the whole thing? No, I saw too many quilts that I felt like were better quilts. And with these things, it's always interesting. So you look at the quilt that won, and then you look at the honorable mentions. I'm sorry, I'm a little froggy today. You look at the honorable mentions, and you can start playing around, going, "Well, I might have." And in fact, there's one quilt. It's really pretty. It looks like it's made. It's a mosaic, and it looks like stained glass. And it's quite a gorgeous quilt. And I was sort of like, for that over mine, except for my severe self-interest. But I had been following, and there were tons of cute quilts posted, and it was a difficult challenge, and I thought people had done really well with it. I found it difficult. If you follow my process, I posted about it on the Off Kilter Quilt blog. It took me a long time to get this design. I was relying on the help of friends to, give me feedback and ideas. I thought there were just a lot of cute quilts. There were a few quilts I was keeping my eye on, and those are quilts that got named. Got named as either winners or honorable mentions. And what I noted about these quilts was distinctive design, and also with a number of them, really good quilting. And in fact, the quilt that won is by Cassandra Beaver, who just won the modern category at Paducah, has really interesting, cool quilting. But I think all the quilts do. So I think and this is a competition where quilting mattered. So was I surprised? Sure, because I think anytime you enter something, you're like, oh, I'll never win. There's a really good likelihood. You just don't know. Even if you feel like you've got a good quilt, it can be very dependent on the judges and their taste and what have you. And there were over 200 entries, and there were plenty of really cute quilts that didn't get named at all, and that I was surprised didn't get any mention, that whole thing. I mean, it's just the same with any competition, particularly now that we have Instagram, where you can see the quilts that are entered, and the same with QuiltCon, where you're looking at the QuiltCon reject and going, I don't understand how the quilt did not get in. It sounds conceited. Like, did I think I would have a shot? Sure. I mean, I felt like it's the wing has, it's an interesting design. It's a different design. I didn't see a ton of applique in the quilt. So, it's in the quilting. I mean, the quilting is a good quilting. It's a good quilting design. I really wish it would lay flat. So I thought it would be in the running, but I would not have been surprised. I would have been a little disappointed the way you are. If you enter a competition, you want to win. I would have been disappointed, but I also had every quilt that's on the Modern Quilt Guild site that either won, either placed or got an honorable mention. If you'd pulled my quilt out and it was just those quilts, I would have been like, oh yeah, those are really neat quilts. Those are really nice. So I don't know. This sounds like kind of conceited. Did I think I would win? Yes, I thought I would take it all. It's like, no, I thought I had a shot. It's a cute quilt. So I was very pleased, and I giggled a lot. I giggled. I don't know why. I just kept going, it's just weird. It's weird. If you've been following along, I worked really, really hard, and it was fun. And someone asked me on Facebook yesterday, having placed in this challenge, would I do another challenge? I'll probably do the next Riley Blake challenge. Challenges are interesting, though, because I feel like right now, I'm playing with all these different ideas and thinking about these things and working on design. And what was great about doing this quilt, about doing wing, is playing with applique. And I am working on a theory. I've talked with a couple people about this recently. Most recently, my friend Patty, who's in my guild, talking about what's next. What's next in modern quilting? And I really think one of the next big things, which is already happening, is applique. I feel like it's an exciting time in modern quilting because people are really gaining skills or have gained skills and branching out. And so I think there's so many interesting things that can be done with appliqué. I loved the appliqué quilts at QuiltCon. So I liked doing this for how it pushed me further into appliqué. I learned more about appliqué doing it the way I am with doing the sit-in quilt. And, you know, also, you know, the paper birds in the air from this last spring was also appliqué. I know more now. If I were to redo that quilt, I could appliqué it a lot better. I should redo that quilt. I probably won't redo that quilt. But in any event, so doing a challenge, it was very much worth it because I learned from it. I enjoyed documenting the process. I enjoyed the process. And for me, one of the funnest things about whether you're writing or quilting, whatever creative thing you're doing, is that believing when you're at your lowest point that if you keep at it, if you come back at it the next day with fresh eyes and a good night's sleep, which is not guaranteed when you're almost 53 years old, but if you come back at it, you will figure out what to do. And that's what I've been working on, among other things, an article that I'm going to submit to the Modern Quilt Guild resources site about the origins, about the roots of modern quilting. So I've been reading a lot about Denise Schmidt. I have a little crush on Denise Schmidt. She's really cool. She's super cool. Andy Warhol took a picture of her for Paris Vogue. That's how cool Denise Schmidt is. But, you know, she got, you know, her background is graphic design. She went to RISD, the Rhode Island School of Design, and came out and started working as a graphic designer. And she talks a lot about problem solving. That's what she loves about design, is you have to figure something out. It's like, how I've got these materials, or I've got this idea, or I have this assignment. How do I do it in a way that makes me really happy, that looks really good, etc.? And I like that as well. You know, how am I going to make this work? And when you're sitting there and only have an idea in your head, you know, on the one hand you feel like, ah, you know, the sky's the limit. On the other hand, it's very scary. So like, I've got this idea. I don't know how I'm going to, you know, make it come alive on the page, on the design board, wherever. So I like that part of the process very much, that problem solving, that getting up and going, all right, we're going to try this again. And I think anytime you do that and you get over your fear of starting over, you have to be careful, because you can start over too many times. You can, you know, I sometimes get that feedback from quilting friends. It's like, quit deconstructing. Construct. You need to construct and be proactive. So you can get to a point where you're just losing it. That's part of the process too, where failure is part of the process, quite frankly. So I loved all of that. I loved the problem solving of it, but it did feel like stepping outside of the stream of the work that I'm doing in terms of, you know, which I don't even know how I would describe. But of course, part of it is doing stars quilts. Part of it is, you know, it's like I didn't work on the sit-in quilt, the chairs quilt, for a long time. I still have to quilt the stellar quilt and finish, you know, as I think I've talked about here, I had made a back for Stellar, and they decided it's actually its own top. So, you know, so I've got all kinds of stuff that I'm working on, and I stepped outside of that to do Wing. So I'm glad I did it. I'm very glad to be acknowledged for it. It's very exciting to me, as you might imagine. And I really appreciate feedback that people listening to this podcast gave me. It was very helpful. I appreciate the feedback of my friends Holly Ann and Vicky. I hope you're listening to Vicky over on my Creative Corner 3. I really enjoy your podcast, Vicky. I comment in my head. I hope you can hear me. and Kristen. Did I say Kristen, Holly Ann, and Vicky were particularly good at giving me feedback. And all during the process. So I really appreciate that. That was really, really helpful. Yeah, now I'm lost. I've lost my train of thought. It was bound to happen. I just feel good that I got us back to me looking at my computer and learning about that. So yay, Yay, I say. Today, as I said, is Saturday. The only thing I have to do is teach my workshop, which I actually love to do. It's one of the girls. She's so sweet. We had a great session last week, and she's like, thank you so much for doing this, for spending this time with us, Frances. And I'm like, you're welcome. I'm thinking, you know, your mom pays me to do this. But I didn't say that because in part, I know I would do it for free. Don't tell Charlotte's mom. I also kind of want to keep commerce out of that relationship. Just because it doesn't feel like a commercial relationship. Anyways, so love doing that from 2 to 3:30. And otherwise, other than taking the old pup here for WALK, I hope to be working on sit-in for most of the day and maybe cleaning out the Lazy Susan. I would feel quite accomplished if I got the pantry and the Lazy Susan, which just, it needs, yeah, old ingredients out and also seriously vacuumed. A lot of spice mix at this point. Not, you know, spice mix by spices falling out of their jars kind of spice mix. I also have many bags because I like to buy spices fresh. Or like if you need something that's really unusual, you know, they might have it at the supermarket, but it costs like $8 for a bottle of dried up, no long, way past its prime stuff. So if I go to Whole Foods or the Durham Co-op and buy, you know, just a little, just like a quarter of an ounce, right? And then come home and use it and put the little baggie in the Lazy Susan and don't label it. And then I have no idea what it is. So, time to go through that stuff and also vacuum up all the little, yes, leftover spicy things. That sounds weird. Just, you know what I'm talking about. Powder. I'll be vacuuming up spice powder. So, I would like to do that, but mostly I'd really like to get some serious applique done today. I'm excited about this quilt. I think it's going to be really cool, but it has taken a while. But then I have to remind myself it's taken a while because I took a long break from it. And then tomorrow, Will is getting both baptized and confirmed. Within minutes, he will be confirming his baptismal vows 5 minutes after he makes his baptismal vow. So that's going to be like double dose of goodness and promises and denying Satan. So there you go. And he has done confirmation classes all year. This church that we go to, Duke Memorial, they're pretty serious about confirmation. And the funny thing is, it's like he's being confirmed in the Methodist Church. We're not even Methodists, but you know, I like the Methodists. They're a can-do kind of people. They get out there and do great stuff in the community. So if you're going to be confirmed, why not in the Methodist Church? He'll probably never step into a church again after this, but we've done what we can. So that's the rest of my weekend. Sewing, cleaning, baptizing, all the good things that life has to offer. And I will be back. Oh, and then tomorrow too, Modern Quilt Guild meeting. So looking forward to that. I'll give you the report later. Bye for now. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Monday, May 15th. In a few minutes, not a few minutes, like 45 minutes, I'm going to be Skyping with Leah Day for a podcast episode. So look for that. I'll let you know when it's up. I don't know how far in advance she records. Some of us are very organized. She is very organized. I am less organized. Anyway, beautiful day. Not that we care about the weather, but it's quite nice. And I'm sitting here. Guess what? Travis is by my side. I'm back in the same spot. This is front room, couch, dog by my side. It's kind of the podcasting spot. I had an interesting email today in response to my newsletter, which I sent out last week. And I had read an article from on the Badass Quilter Society blog, excuse my French, about fabric, like where do you get your fabric? So I started off the newsletter saying, where do you get your fabric? And, you know, I get most of mine. I try to be loyal to local quilt shops. Now, that has become harder since Thimble Pleasures has closed its doors. But I do as much as I can with Carrie Quilt Company. I like them. They carry the fabrics that I want, and primarily that's going to be American-made brand solids. So it works out. Mostly I shop online with them because it's whenever I go, it's like an hour round trip. And I value my time at more than $5 an hour, so I'm willing to pay five for the shipping, which is perfectly reasonable. And they do a great job and get stuff to me a couple days later. You know, I love the Fat Quarter Shop. And if I can't find what I want locally, that's where I go. And I mentioned the newsletter. You know, I also occasionally go to Joann's. I don't buy a ton of fabric at Joann's. I do pick up muslin there if I need muslin and if I'm going to actually try to be good and practice my machine quilting, which happens about never. But every once in a while, I have a fit of, I'm going to get better at this. And so I go buy some muslin. Did I say muslin? I don't buy muslin. Muslin. Occasionally, I buy some solids, particularly. Like when I'm working on the sit-in quilt, the chair quilt, and I needed some pink. And so I went and got a couple fat quarters of pink. And if I'm doing home decor, then I'll buy from Joann's. But mostly what I get at Joann's is like, stabilizer and whatever you call the sticky stuff you use for applique, like applique paper. No, sticky glue-on applique stuff. No, you know what it is, whatever it is. But my big purchase, probably what I most consistently purchase at Joann's, is batting. So anyway, so I mentioned Joann's, and I got an email from a quilt shop owner I have met and who I like and has just opened a shop in the last year or so. And it sounds like she's struggling a bit. And she felt like I was promoting Joann's. And I wrote her back and said I was really sorry. That certainly was not my intention. But she was a little bit, a little bit upset with me for that. And so anyway, so I apologized and said, I'd readdress it later. But it was funny because on the one hand, it's like, yeah, because I didn't feel like I was promoting Joann's. I felt like I was being honest. And most quilters I know shop a little bit online, shop a little bit on Joann's, and if they've got a local quilt shop that they like, they go there. You certainly hear all kinds of stories. For instance, and this was a problem with Thimble Pleasures when it was still open. It was such a wonderful shop, but it closed at 5. Well, what do you do if you work all day and you get off at 5? And then the only time you can go is the weekends. But if you work Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, sometimes that's really hard too. It just can be rough. So you hear that's hard for people. And there are stories about, you go in and you feel then people aren't helpful. And I know there are shops like that. And there are times when I went into Thimble Pleasures, there were certain crews of people who worked there. And to be honest, they were younger. When you walked in and the owner was there, she took care of you. So the older staff members they were great and really helpful. And sometimes the younger ones, you felt like they were chatting together and they had little to no interest in you. So I totally believe that's a thing. And that's no fun, if you feel like, oh, there's a party here, but I have not been invited. But for the most part, I think if you've got a local quilt shop, you try to go there. Most people do, because one is where the best fabric is. But most quilters I know balance it out. It's hard, but I just it's an expensive pursuit. Quilting is an expensive endeavor, so I did not mind this woman writing me. I certainly was sorry to cause her any distress, but I also was like, am I supposed to lie and not say I don't shop at Joann's? Because I do. I also go to the Scrap Exchange, which I understand. Scrap Exchange is a single place and it's not going to put quilting shops out of business, whereas Joann's just might. Well, Fat Quarter Shop, I don't know. Fat Quarter Shop to me, it's like the local quilting shop in the sky. Kimberly Jolly feels very local and real to me. I've never met her, but I like how she does business. And I feel like they do an amazing job. I have never gotten an order from Fat Quarter Shop where I was like, oh, wow, that was cut really badly. Or they had, it's always a really, they cut the fabric really nicely. They package it nicely. They get it to you fast. And, I don't know. So I'm kind of happy to support, I'm very happy to support Fat Quarter Shop and to,
and feel like, yeah, it's, I mean, that's just, I don't know. The man is, I haven't discussed this with him because the email just came in this morning, but he's tougher than I am. He's just like, if you're a brick and mortar shop, you really need to rethink about how you do business. Brick and mortar, it's rough. And it's true, but I do like brick and mortar shops. I like bookstores, like independent bookstores. I like independent quilt shops, all of that. But I also need, I also want to be able to make quilts and not drain my bank account. So anyway, just thinking about that. Where do you get your fabric? What's your experience been? I would like to hear that. Went to my Quilt Guild meeting yesterday, and it was fun. It was not largely attended, or attended by large numbers of people. I think probably because it was Mother's Day and a beautiful day. But it was fun. We did something with color wheels and creating a palette and choosing fabrics. And I was in a very fun group. We had a great time. We had a hard time picking our fabrics because the palette we chose was fabulous and really cool. But then to pick the fabrics for it turned out to be harder. But it was an interesting exercise. Sometimes I think maybe this is why I mostly work with solids, but I don't know. I like the challenge of prints and picking and choosing, but right now just the stuff that I'm doing is more solidly oriented. Yeah, that doesn't really work. Anyway, so I just thought I would share that, cause I have been pondering that, not about the Modern Quilt Guild. I'm sorry. I just made a huge leap in my mind. I'm like, do I have anything else to say? I don't think I have anything else to say, but, oh, I'm excited though. I do have a couple more things to say, and I'm going to walk and talk. We're walking and talking. It's like we're on the West Wing. I'm going to be talking with Leah Day later. In fact, not too long from now. Ooh, in 45 minutes, I need to eat lunch. And for Mother's Day, I got several nice books that I asked for. It was a very nice Mother's Day. It was a little odd and exhausting because Will got baptized and 5 minutes later reconfirmed his baptismal vows, but that was very nice. And then he was a communion server. So that way he went from being, you know, completely outside the church to practically running the church. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, by the time we celebrate, we were just all tired. We're tired. We are a tired people. We are chugging along till graduation, Jack's graduation, and then I think we're collapsing on the couch for maybe 6-7 months. I'm not sure. It's just like, you know, and it's like my friend Daniil says, May is the new December. I'm kind of starting to feel like April and May are the new December, but it's been a little nutty. Anyway, I had a perfectly lovely Mother's Day, but busier than most. Mostly on Mother's Day, I kind of like to just sit back and eat cheese and watch Merchant and Ivory films, and that did not happen. Did get some nice books. Wanted to tell you, I got Denise Schmidt, Modern Quilts, Traditional Inspiration, 20 New Designs with Historic Roots, and partly is I'm trying to write some about the roots of the Modern Quilt Guild movement. And in fact, if you are a modern quilter, or, I mean, most of us are a hybrid of different things, but if you've got into modern quilting, say in the first decade of the 21st century, and have some ideas, like what, I'm curious about people's own stories and where you sought community, and what, if there were blogs you really liked right out, you know, like in 2006, were, you know, who was blogging? We know that 2008 is when Fresh Modern Quilts debuted on Flickr, but I'm curious about who were you reading? Whose quilts were you looking at in the early days? Let me know. Anyway, so I mostly got this book, asked for this book, and it's out of print, but I wanted to read about, you know, her take on Denise Schmidt's, because she was very influenced. I've been reading a lot about Denise Schmidt lately. And I think her early, you know, she really loved antique quilts. Her background is in graphic design. And she didn't come from a quilt making tradition, although she came from a making tradition. So she's interesting. And I do love her quilts. So I got that. It was used. I asked for it. I knew it was used, but it's actually, it looks new. I have quilting books like that too, that, you know, that I got and I love looking through, but don't use enough, never used enough to really make them look used. Another book I got was the Appliqué Book, Traditional Techniques, Modern Style by Casey York. And I'm really looking forward to reading this. I've looked through it and I don't think I'm going to make the quilts in it, but I really wanted to learn about techniques. And our girl Allison Rosen has a fabulous quilt in here, and the project. So I was really excited about that. And of course she is, an appliqué girl, and, she's many kinds of girls, but that's one kind of girl. So that was really neat, you know, to see Allison in here. I knew she was in here, but it's still exciting to see. And then I got Graphic Design, The New Basics by Ellen Lupton and Jennifer Cole Phillips. This is supposed to be kind of a classic of the genre. And as I continue to kind of get into design, I want to learn more about design. So that was really exciting. So I wanted to tell you that, and that I'm going to be on Leah Day sometime soon. I will tell you. And also, there's a new story up on Quilt Fiction. Some of you may know that. I did a giveaway. I'm sorry I didn't have it planned in time to tell you on the last episode, but and the giveaway is over tonight, Monday night, and this podcast isn't going to go up till the end of the week. So giveaway is over, but the story remains. So if you haven't read it, it's called A Quilt for Dr. Wallace. It's on the quiltfiction.com website. So go over and read it. You know, it's one of the, there were different ways you could enter the giveaway, and I said if you actually give a comment on the story itself, I would give you two entries. And I'm going to tell you what, some of these comments are amazing. It's a story about a woman who's lost her best friend to cancer, and man, I got these comments that like made me tear up. It's like, oh, I'm, you know, it's really, the story really meant a lot to me because 6 months ago my best friend died of cancer, or, you know, this means a lot to me because my mom died, you know, and just like, oh my goodness. So anyway, give it a read. By the way, if you haven't signed up for my newsletter, don't you think it's time you did? Yes, it is. Okay. I'll probably have something more to say. I did not get any quilting done yesterday. I got some done Saturday, and I hope that I will get done some this afternoon, because you know what? I like to quilt. I'd like to do it more often. All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Tuesday, May 30th. It's my birthday. Thank you. I'm 53. Makes me firmly middle-aged, which I do not mind other than the little memory lapses and the knees. But the knees have been a problem for a while. They're not a bad problem. They're not like knee replacement surgery. More like just don't seem to bend the way they used to. Anyway, I'm looking at along the backyard, our blueberry bushes, which never got pruned this year, are big and full, and I think we're going to have a lot of blueberries, us and the birds. And the tomatoes, we have got tomatoes, and they're getting big. The man planted the tomatoes early. We had such a warm spring, and our frost date, last frost date is April 15th, but it did not seem like there was any chance of another frost, which is, you know, famous last words, but the fact is we didn't get another frost, and so now we have early tomatoes. And our big hope, and I think it's got to happen, is to have tomatoes to take with us to the beach. And we're not going to Ocracoke this year until like the last week of June, so I think it's going to happen. This is quite thrilling for me. I just checked my Facebook page. Thank you, by the way, for all of you who have posted Facebook birthday greetings. But Joe Cunningham did. Now, I follow Joe Cunningham. We are Facebook friends, but he doesn't know who I am. I know he doesn't. I think he must just be a nice guy who says happy birthday to his Facebook friends. But I'm like, oh my goodness. That's kind of a little birthday treat. We're not doing anything today for my birthday other than just sort of celebrating me in general. But as far as a party, we're waiting till next weekend, this coming weekend. Because you know what? Jack graduated on Friday. Yay, Jack! And we're still recovering from that. It was lovely, but it was a busy week. My parents came, which was great. It was so nice to have them here. But there were celebrations. There was a
big senior class dinner that the families went to. Not Will. We wouldn't do that to Will. But the man and I went to. There was an award ceremony. Jack was given the history prize, which we were so pleased. It means a lot because it means that all the history teachers that he's had, all the teachers in the history department got together and said, which senior are we going to give the history award to? And they agreed that Jack was their guy. And that is just lovely. It makes me really happy. It was all good. The graduation ceremony itself was lovely. And but it just, it's like, okay, I'm done. I really have no interest in celebrating anything for a while. So we are pushing off that celebration for a few days, which is fine because I'll milk it for all it's worth for the rest of the week. And I plan to get the boys to do all kinds of things. Hopefully, including vacuuming and washing my car, which they were supposed to do on Mother's Day, but we were all exhausted. We're such introverts. We were all exhausted from Will's confirmation. We're like, all right, that was good. We're not doing anything else for the rest of the day. Actually, I went to my Quilt Guild meeting, which was fun. My Modern Quilt Guild meeting. So, yeah, anyway. Just May has been busy and hectic, and I hope June will be much quieter in a kind of calm, peaceful way. That is my hope. I am almost done with sit-in, also known as the chair quilt. In fact, I pretty much just call it the chair quilt. But for its official title, supplied by Quilt and Jenny, sit-in, I really like. I think it's super cool. But I have, everything's been appliqued. All the chairs are appliqued. I have two rows left to piece together. And it takes a little bit longer than you think it would because the chairs are unevenly spaced. And so I have to figure out each row, how much, what width of negative space, i.e. what 9 by 5 rectangles of fabric. No, if I know they're 9 by 5, they're 9 inches long. They're all, but some of them, sometimes the space is going to be between a grouping of chairs is 3 inches. Sometimes it's 1.5. Sometimes, you know, you get the picture. So figuring out that, it takes a little bit of time to get the chairs exactly placed in the row the way that I want them. And at the same time, making sure that the row is long enough matching the rows that have come before it. So I have two more rows to do. And then I will start piecing rows together. I actually do have 4 rows pieced together. So I think I have 6 rows to piece together and then get the whole thing put together. And then I'm going to put borders on. The borders will just be white. So it will just look like the chairs are sitting in the middle of the quilt. I want to give a little bit of negative space around the edges for the chairs. My plan right now is to do pretty simple quilting. Straight line, vertical, but unevenly spaced. And I'm going to try a variegated thread. I have, for my birthday, asked for some Aurifil variegated. It's orange and yellow. Yeah, yellow, but a marigoldy yellow. The kind of, not a lemon, not a blue yellow, but a red yellow. That's a very important distinction to me. And white, and it looks nice. It may not work. I don't know, but I want to give it a shot. Because I like the idea very much. Aurifil also has a variegated thread. It's called denim or stone denim or something that also might be good if the orange, yellow, white variegated thread does not work. I'll keep you posted. I also asked for my birthday. I just put my birthday today. I put together a gift list last night. We kind of are big birthday present people. The man wasn't when I married him, but I've converted him. Yes, so I've also asked for batting. I'm basically making them get me my quilt supplies and book supplies for my birthday. I had some thought that I would wait until we get I get my machine service before I start quilting. I now have 3 quilts to quilt. The sit-in, stellar, and then the funky improv top that I thought was going to be the back of stellar, but then I liked it so much I want it to be its own top. So I do have a bunch of quilting done, and if I do any machine quilting before I get the machine serviced, it will be the chair quilt. we are going to Ocracoke, as I said, the last week of June. And so that's what I'll do, is I'll drop off my machine before we go and have it serviced while we're gone. I'm also working on a couple other things. I can't remember. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I haven't gone back and listened to the earlier quilt diaries. One is a yo-yo quilt, which I've got some ideas for making modern. And as I get closer to making those ideas a reality, I will tell you all about it. And then also I'm working on a Lone Star. This is with repurposed fabrics, which I do think I talked about. So I've been cutting up old jeans and tablecloths. And last week I went to the Scrap Exchange, my new favorite place to buy fabric. And they've started selling clothes. They don't have a ton, but they have some. And there are actually some very cool leather jackets. And those are the only things that are even moderately expensive. So I bought a black, what do you call it? Black watch plaid? Is that right? So it's red. It's a red skirt, but it's a red plaid skirt, and the plaid is, yeah, I think it's called Black Watch. Anyway, it's a really cute skirt. I don't think it would fit me, but I wanted something fun. I was actually looking for a red flannel shirt, but I found this skirt. I'm like, that's really cool looking. And that will be the center star of the Lone Star. So I'm doing this English paper piecing, diamonds. It's going to be a huge star, but that's okay, because this is the year of the big quilt for me. It's the year of the big quilt. It's all happening. And I think this afternoon for my little birthday celebration, I will be going to the Scrap Exchange. I need to start picking up some fabrics to do the back for sit-in. And I think I've got another back to make as well. Yeah, I got a lot. The backs, man, they just sneak up. They sneak up behind you like, oh, you thought you were done? You still have to do the back. And you know me, too cheap just to buy yardage and yards of really cute fabric. No. I have to spend at least a week piecing it back together. So that is where I am right now. And I think because I would like to get this episode posted before, you know, say next month. Before next month. Next month starts in 2 days, and I would like to get this episode posted before then. I think I will end up now and get back to you in a couple weeks with all kinds of updates. I hope you've had a lovely May. I hope the flowers where you live smell really good. They smell really good here. And I hope that you will keep in touch. Don't forget, we're doing a giveaway, 7th anniversary of the Off-Kilter Quilt. So leave a comment. Let me know how long you've been listening. I'd love to hear that. And I know some of you have listened to the very first episode. Let me know, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Off-Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.